I'm Donna.
And I'm Carrie.
And we are Paranormal Chicks.
Sinister Sightings 335. Man, y'all are coming in clutch with these emails because we thought we were about to be done, but we're good for a few more weeks. But I mean, keep them coming because, you know. Okay, the first one. Mom's experience in a graveyard. Hey, booze. This just happened a week and a half ago in Ontario. You want to talk about swamp ass? Me and my parents went to Greater Toronto Area for my aunt's celebration of life. That's not what this story's about, but just background info. After the celebration, my mom wanted to go to the cemetery to find one of her friend's graves, as she and my dad hadn't found it the night before. Long story short, my mom was looking for a tombstone in a section of the cemetery where her friend's wasn't at. She texted her friend's daughter and found out there was only a placard. So my mom told me that I needed to come and find it. And I just asked what she was talking about because I wasn't confident that I'd be able to find it. When we arrived, I told my parents that I was only going down the road once. It was 95 degrees out and 100% humidity. And that I would start on one side and my mom should start on the other. And if we met in the middle, it meant we didn't find it. Needless to say, as soon as we got to the area, my mom wandered off to find her friends, in-laws, and my dad started looking on the same side I was. Dad's, am I right? So I realized that in between two rows of headstones, there were little placards. So I start walking and I'm telling you, three placards on, I found it. I think sometimes you just need another pair of eyes. My mom was thrilled. I took some pictures of her touching the placard before leaving. My mom thought it was hilarious. My dad took full credit, even though he did nothing. I love my dad, but he's a ridiculous person. The next morning at breakfast, my mom tells me that the night before she decided to look at the pictures before bed, and as she scrolled through the pictures, she noticed what looked like a shock of electricity traveling from her hand to the placard. I asked to see the picture, and she told me that when she looked at the pictures again that morning, the shock of electricity was gone. My mom isn't the type to tell stories, so I believe that she saw what she saw. She told me that she felt like it was her friend telling her, "Don't worry, I'm okay." I think it brought her a lot of comfort because she doesn't think she'll make it back to Ontario again before she passes away. So although she didn't get to see her brother and mom's memorial tree, I hope she feels peace. Anyway, I'm not sure if this is paranormal so much as spiritual, but I believe that when people pass, they're never truly gone. Thanks so much. Bye. I 1000% believe she saw what she saw.
Me too. But I was a little confused by you saying she's not going to get back there before she passes. And I was like, wait, the friend has a placard
before she passed?
Yeah. But then I was like, oh, your mom. Okay, got it. But I was like, wait, is that a thing?
I mean, my mom's name is on the headstone now. Dad's headstone finally came in because those things take like a year, and it took mom like 2 years to be ready to buy it. And so we just got it like, I don't know, a month or two ago. And mom's name and her date of birth and everything's on there, just obviously not her date of death.
Yeah. No, I know headstones, but like the placards, you know, like.
Yeah.
I mean, that's all my papa has because headstones be expensive.
Yes. Well, that was some of it too. It was like getting the money together for it.
But yeah, I believe she saw what she saw. And even if it wasn't actually in the picture.
Exactly what I was about to say.
Yeah, she saw it when she needed to. Mm-hmm. And, you know, she got that little.
That little like validation. Yeah, I'm sorry, I cut you off.
I could not think of the word. All you know why? Because you usually.
Finish your sentences.
Yes. And so I just say what's going on in my head. And then I get to a stopping point and I'm like, and continue.
All I can picture, though, for some reason, is that painting of, like, it's not Jesus. Who is it? David or something, where he's, like, got the finger pointing.
The Michelangelo?
Michelangelo, thing? Yeah.
Picturing, like, a lightning bolt. You know, like, it'll be, like, a lone wolf.
Yes, Michelangelo's shirt. Fingers.
Yeah. But, you know, like, a lone wolf shirt or something, but it's got that, like, electric blue lightning or whatever. But what do I know? Because I did not know Canada got that hot.
I certainly didn't know that it had that much humidity.
Right? I was like, swamp ass. Girl, if you're saying Canada, it don't compare. But then I was like, wait.
It does compare.
Those are the same temperatures as us. So.
Donna, but global warming's not real.
Right? Okay, the second one. Sinister sightings indeed. Hi, Donna and Carrie, longtime listener, first-time caller, and it's long overdue, but I'm excited to share some scary stories with you. I've been listening since 2018, and I truly feel like we're friends in real life. I also joined Patreon this year. Perhaps I'm finally getting my act together. Time will tell. My name is unique and easy to track down, so let's call me Rose for these stories. I have many to share, but I'll contain myself for the moment. Story 1, The Girl in the Hallway. When I was in 5th or 6th grade, I went to my friend's house one afternoon. We were in her living room watching TV. The TV was against the wall and just to the left of the hallway leading to all the bedrooms. It was easy for your eyes to wander over there and catch a glimpse of that hallway. While we were watching, I saw her little sister. She was standing right at the edge of the hallway opening, looking at me and smiling, and I smiled back. She didn't wave, she just kept looking. It seemed like she was coming out of one of the bedrooms, her body at an angle like she was poking around a doorway. Her hair was long, blonde, and soaking wet, and her clothes were wet too. I looked at her for a second and thought that was a little strange, but she was only about 5 or 6, so I didn't think much of it. But then, maybe about 20 seconds later, I remembered she wasn't home. I was pretty sure her mom had taken her out to run errands and that my friend and I were alone in the house. I wasn't scared, just confused. I got up and walked toward the hallway to check the room I thought she had been leaning out of, but when I got there, I realized that there was no door where I'd seen her. The nearest bedroom door was further down the hall. From where she had been standing, it was like she was pressed flat against the wall or coming out of it. I turned to my friend and asked, "Is anyone here?" She said no. And I asked, "Your sister's with your mom?" And she said yes. I went back to the couch and didn't say anything more. I never saw that doppelganger again, but I've never forgotten it. Seeing her sister with dripping wet hair and clothes, even though she wasn't there. So, what's that about? Would love to hear your thoughts. Story 2, The Red Light. I was born and raised in the Oregon wilderness. We moved around the same general area during my childhood. Some places very remote, some less so. By my middle school years, around the same age as the ghost story I told before, we lived outside a very small town on a rural road, apologies to Donna for that word combo, with only distant neighbors. As the middle child of 5 children, I was often tasked with babysitting the 2 youngest. One sunny summer day, I was alone with them in the orchard next to our house. The house sat in the middle of a large field with the edge of a heavily wooded area several hundred feet behind it. I was probably picking fruit, watching the kids, and playing with our dogs when I noticed a puff of dirt fly up from the ground. Confused, I looked at my siblings to see if they had thrown something, but they were quietly playing. As I looked at my little brother, another puff of dirt popped up from the ground. Still confused, I started scanning around, thinking maybe rocks were being thrown at us. But that's when I looked toward the tree line. From my point of view, I saw a red laser light coming from the darkness. It seemed to sweep across my face and all around the kids. Immediately, I knew something was wrong. I hurried the kids and the dogs inside. I was pretty young and had no idea what to do, so I called our nearest neighbor, and they called the cops. The neighbor and the police officer came over, listened to my story, and then walked up to the tree line. When they came back, they told me they had found a lot of empty bullet shell casings on the ground in that spot. The red light had likely been from the aim of a rifle. I never heard gunshots, so they must have been using a silencer. My parents were contacted at work. I think the cop walked into the woods a bit, but nothing was ever resolved. Who was shooting? Was it someone we knew? Is this a core part of my fear of guns? Yes. That's all for now. I have many stories to share, and I hope to get them to you soon. In the meantime, I just want to say thank you so much for the years of companionship and laughter, Rose.
Holy shit. Someone literally had a freaking, like, scope trained on y'all.
Right.
That's so fucking scary. Like, you did the best. Like, how smart of you to be like, okay, everybody inside. Not like, oh, someone's got a laser pointer. You know,
right.
Like, very smart of you to be like, no, 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 go inside.
I didn't know what it was going to be because I was like, I mean, a gopher? A what? Like, little, like, things of dirt coming up. But that is so fucking scary. And they were all, like, they weren't just shooting their gun, okay? Like, silencer and stuff.
Right.
Like you said, they had the freaking scope. Come on. And if they were shooting their gun, why were they not doing it into the woods that they were in?
Right.
Rather than at y'all.
I wonder if their scope wasn't sighted in correctly, and that's why they were missing.
Well, I'm glad.
Oh, I know, but like, that's so fucking scary.
And just like that, it's all of my stories combined where that is way more scary than seeing a doppelganger in the hallway, like, of your friend's little sister that's not there. Like, that's fucking scary, but then you tell that story and it's right. Like, oh, shit, no.
Because real life is always scarier.
Yes. Also, thank you for being a trooper since 2018.
Are you not tired of us? Because I'm tired of us. Also, it cracks me up when people say longtime listener, first time caller.
Yeah.
That cracks me up.
Oh, my God. And this was for the first one. You cracked me up when you said your dad was ridiculous.
Yes. Okay, the next one. Creepy kid story. Hi, ladies. My name is Lindsay. Yes, you can use it. And first, I wanted to say that I love you both so much. I've been listening for several years now and have meant to write in forever. But, you know, ADHD and kids. Since you mentioned being low on stories, I knew I finally had to do it. I'm not great at writing, so I put this story into ChatGPT to write it out better for me, but no details were changed. The very first time something happened, we were in my bedroom, which has an attached bathroom. My son suddenly stopped, pointed to the bathroom, and asked, "Who's that man?" I was confused, but he pointed again and said, "Him." We brushed it off, not knowing what else to do. The next day, he peeked over the back of the couch towards our sliding glass door and asked, "Who are they?" I told him I couldn't see anyone, and he said, "They're all walking by." A few days later, he asked why the little boy in the corner of his room played with his toys at night. Every night, he'd ask us to clean up the toys from his floor so the boy wouldn't come. Then came the creepiest encounter, the one that basically made us shit ourselves. That same day at bedtime, he asked my husband about the man in his closet. We asked what the man in the closet looked like, and he said, "A monster, maybe fire." And he said that while peering over my shoulder towards the closet, fear in his eyes. At that point, I was so freaked out. We staged the house, put crystals in all four corners of his room, in the closet, on his nightstand, and even by the front door. We asked them to leave. We told them to leave, but it didn't stop. That's when we decided to contact a local medium. She explained that this wasn't anything negative, but they were scaring him. She told me to picture him as a bright light in a dark tunnel. These spirits see that light and are drawn to him because he can see them, but they don't realize that he's only three and can't help them. She said that the man in the closet appeared to be black and on fire, searching for a son that he had likely lost in a fire. That little boy in his room had no connection to that man. She believed that he was from the early 1900s based on his clothing. After that, we staged the entire house again and placed crystals exactly where she instructed. We also began a nightly ritual where, before bed, we hold a crystal and tell him, "You're safe, you're protected, you're powerful, you're in charge of who you let into your space." I wanted him to feel like he had the power to tell them to leave if he felt uncomfortable. Still, I'd see him on the monitor after I left his room, instantly turn to face the wall and pull the covers over his head. Shortly after, one morning, he told me he'd said hi to a ghost. When I asked where, he said, "In your bathroom." Yes, the same bathroom where he'd first seen someone a month earlier. This same guy started appearing on our stairs, and my son would warn me when I needed to go up. I know my kid, and this wasn't him being silly or trying to trick us. People kept saying, "Kids have wild imaginations," but that's not what this was. Normally, he's goofy and playful, but in these moments, he was dead serious. And you could see in his eyes that it was real for him. Now he's six, and we've been in a different house for 2 years without any experiences. Two of our medium friends have since told me he's an indigo child, which I don't fully understand, but from what they've explained, he's a very strong empath and an old soul who's here to help. That's it for now, but I'll write a short story in soon about my grandma showing me signs that she's still with me. Lindsay. That's scary as fuck.
It really is. And thank God y'all could have this, like, a routine that could calm him down with the crystals and everything. And I'm glad that you believed him.
That.
Because, like you said, everyone's like, well, children have wild imaginations. Yeah, but if it's going on for a while, like, children usually drop things quickly. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, oh my God, you're on my nerves today. But then tomorrow, they're not even going to remember what they were saying.
Right.
But he just kept going with it. Bless his heart for seeing all of that.
That has to be so scary for him. And again, just to circle back to, like, he's so lucky to have y'all that y'all believed him and tried to get him help. And because a lot of kids don't have that.
Okay, the next one. Hello, here are a couple of short stories for you. The first one, Old House Visitor. Many years ago, I took a class that was held in an old house that was built in the 1800s. One night in class, we were all in the side room next to the main entry room. The entry room was where the front door, small reception area, bathroom, and staircase were. There were about six of us in this side room. No one else was in the house, and it was pretty quiet in our room. I could see the bottom of the staircase from where I was, but the front door was just out of sight. I then heard what sounded like someone coming in the front door. It wasn't very loud, but I heard the front door click like it had been closed, and then footsteps quickly ascended the carpeted stairs. I was looking in that direction when it happened. No one had passed by the door to our room, and no one had went up the stairs. I said to the girl next to me, "Did you hear that?" And she confirmed that she did. The instructor heard me say this, quickly ran upstairs to check it out, but no one was up there. I believe this was probably just residual energy of the house and the former residents. The second one, ghost bird? About 15 years ago, I adopted a parakeet that my friend had found in her backyard. Her name was Chloe. I only had her for 6 to 8 months before she passed away. Not long after she died, I was taking a shower and something weird happened. I had my eyes closed, washing my hair. Suddenly, I heard her chirp, but it was more like I heard it in my mind. Before I could even open my eyes and react, I saw a vision of her in my head. In this vision, she flew into the shower and perched up on the edge of the shower stall. When I opened my eyes and looked, there was nothing there, of course. I immediately got the feeling that she was thanking me and saying goodbye. It was sad, but kind of sweet at the same time. Thank you for the podcast.
Wait, don't parakeets live like a really long time, I thought?
Well, I think a lot of birds do, but I mean, they can have illnesses.
I know, but that's sad. Like,
that is sad.
Man, it's like, what do I say, man? You've pointed that out to me and you've shattered the glass and I'm like, man, man. Anywho's, it's like my dog Bo that I had. I only had him for like 2 years before he passed and he was the best dog ever. Like, won an award, should have at least. And it's not fair when you have like this amazing animal and then they pass like so soon like that.
Yeah. But I definitely think, especially if you heard it in your mind's eye, then you could kind of visualize her there. That was a little final goodbye.
Yeah. Okay, the next one. Stories from Bob. Hey, girls, hey. I just stumbled upon your podcast. I've been enjoying your banter and the Southern accents and phrases are comforting. I'm from Florida, but like the Southern part, not the city parts. Anywho, this is just a few quick tales from my sister's dad, Bob. They told me these when I was 6 months pregnant and gave my ass nightmares because pregnancy dreams are crazy. So picture it. We're sitting around the fire in the lawn chair in the afternoon shooting the breeze. They decided to tell me about that girl, Eileen, you know the girl, and I'd never heard of her before. So they're saying she's the first woman to get the death penalty and whatnot. Then good old Bob says, I was on her side of the highway one night. What? Basically, he was working in the area at the time and was driving home one night when he noticed a woman walking on the side of the road, like hitchhiking. Well, he got a weird feeling and didn't stop or anything. So, yeah, creepy. The next thing I know, they're telling me about his friend whose sister went missing as a child. Here's a story as I heard it. So where this happened is one of those little farm towns in Florida. The three kids were walking to the bus stop one morning. For some reason, the two boys took one route and the little girl took another route to the bus stop. Now, they live down by the farm, so imagine corn, wheat, grown up, tall on the sides of the small dirt road. Anyway, the boys made it to the bus stop and the little girl never made it. They did a search for her with police and everything, but she was never seen again. Bob said around that time, Ted Bundy was in Florida, and for some reason, Bob linked the missing girl to him. No evidence points to that, but I guess that's what the friend thought too. Now, this story really shook me, as I was having a baby girl, and I lived in the same small farm town. I had nightmares for weeks. Anyway, those are just some tales from Bob. I've got others, of course, and we'll share at a later date. XOXO, Jay.
Oh my gosh.
He saw Eileen Wuornos.
And lived to tell about it.
For real. Also, though, I don't think that it was Ted Bundy, because that just wasn't his MO. Like, he liked women, you know, kids weren't his MO. So I don't think that would be him.
Unless the kid saw him doing something.
Yeah, like, that would be the only way.
Body or, you know what I mean? Saw something, then he's like, well. But yeah, those are heavy stories to tell.
For real. Also, this is why I can't ever be pregnant too, because I already have crazy dreams. I don't need to have worse because I'm pregnant.
Oh my gosh.
Also, we knew that you, well, I knew that you were not from the city parts when you called them city parts.
Oh gosh. We're just a bunch of country mouses around here too.
I'm like a little bit country, a lot of bit suburbs, but I really want to be city.
Okay, the last one. Sappy, not sinister. Hey ladies, longtime listener and first time writing in. I love all your stories. They help me start my workday off right on my boring commute. I have many stories to share, but never have the time to write them down, so I thought I would share a longer one to start so you don't get too low. A little background. I'm a mom to now three crazy girls, and I'm a nurse. At this time, it was just my oldest daughter, who was around three, my now husband, and me. I'll just refer to him as that. Back in 2013, I had just lost my job and started caring for my mother with ALS full-time, doing home health. This is what would eventually get me to where I'm in nursing today. My dad had passed away when I was 15 from colon cancer, and it was just my older brother and me. He lived about an hour away, so I took on the job of all the household things to be able to keep my mom in our childhood home where she wanted to be. We did have some amazing full-time caregivers at this point. I will forever be grateful for the love and care they provided for my mom and us over her many years battling ALS. My mom's illness had started with her voice. I hadn't heard her speak for the last 3 to 4 years, only on her voicemail, which I continued to call after she passed, just so I could hear her voice one last time. She eventually lost all of her movement as the motor neurons died from this terrible demyelinating disease. She could no longer walk, lift her arms, or move anything. She was bedbound. I received a text on Wednesday while at the grocery store grabbing some of Mom's essentials. She told me, grab some tissues and your jammies and get over here. I think it's time. I knew the end was closer, but I wasn't ready. I gathered my things and headed over to the house. My uncle and brother were both on their way. She was resting in her hospital bed with her eyes closed, almost unresponsive. We had made a makeshift bedroom out of the dining room. It was beautiful and light in there. She could still enjoy the birds, her flower gardens, and feel the sunshine. She refused to be in the living room where my father had previously passed years ago. I didn't leave her side. Family had come and gone, all saying their goodbyes. And then it was my turn. I told her how much I loved her, how sorry I was for being a shit daughter in my mind. I must have scared her to death so many times. I was just a kid. I called my now mother-in-law and my daughter saying, you are my sunshine, one last time for her. My husband had dropped her off so he could come support me. We sat silently in the dimly lit room. There was this one lamp on the other side of the room by the window. I sat in my mom's favorite chair, covered in my blanket she had made me, with my fat childhood cat purring happily in my lap. My husband by my side on the love seat we had pulled in for more seating. Other family and friends had left, and we were all just getting ready to settle in for the night. The lamp in the corner flickered heavily, enough to catch my eye. I looked over, and my mom had her right arm raised all the way up, reaching for someone. This went on for several seconds. I sat there silent. I knew it was my dad there to guide her into the afterlife. My husband was the only other person to see it. There was no way this was even possible. I couldn't believe it, but my heart knew it, though. Her body remained for the next 2 days, but she was no longer there, and I knew that. We stayed and drank, hanging out, just reminiscing about the past and our childhood. My husband went home early Friday as he had to pick up our daughter. My brother, uncle, and I stayed. Around 1 p.m. on Saturday, November 16th, I went out to smoke. I still tried to hide it from her, but she always knew. My Aunt Em was slowly walking up the driveway. This was the first time she could come out to say goodbye. This is who she had been waiting for. Aunt Em had been the last person to say goodbye to my dad as well. I followed her into the house, and there my mom took her last breaths. I watched and I counted as her chest slowly rose and fell until she went still. I can't even describe what I felt. Relief for her, pain, hopelessness, regret, everything and nothing. The only comfort I had was knowing in every part of me that my dad was there for her. I still see her in my girls and myself, those stupid rusty stars, the butterflies, and every Celine Dion song. That's where it ends. My brother and I drank our feelings, tried to clean out the freezer for shits and giggles. It would need to be done eventually. She had mystery meat in there from the 90s. Typical mom. I tried to put myself back together to go home and see my 3-year-old and tell her that Gammy was gone. I would go back and feed my childhood cats for the next 6 months until we had to put my sweet 20-year-old boy Ringo down, which opened up all of those wounds again. Willow, my fat girl, she came home to live with me, and we sold the house. I have several more not-so-sad stories about seeing my dad while cleaning out the house. Ghosty stuff from my early adulthood and being pulled out of my bed by something. Yikes. Until next time, Candy from PA.
Well, this is the sweetest, saddest damn story ever.
Oh my goodness. So many emotions were coming up in me. I know they had to come up in you hearing that, Carrie. Like, God, just a slow death is painful. A fast death is painful. Like, death just freaking sucks.
And honestly, like, you know what my first thought was too? Both of your parents, bless their hearts, had some of the, like, colon cancer and ALS. Like, you are so damn strong. And so were they for living through those things. Because yeah. Fuck cancer and fuck ALS.
The thing about you listening to her voicemail, I had a voicemail from my mom, and it was the dumbest voicemail. Like, and I'm so mad at myself that I had deleted all her other ones that actually were like something. This was just like one little word and like a laugh. And it was like, I would just replay it and replay it and replay it.
Yeah. I turned my live pictures on for like all my pictures now, because you don't realize how many times, like, you play it and you can hear people talk, and like, it would be like, you can hear dad's voice in that picture, you know?
Oh gosh.
He's still in my favorites on my phone. I can't delete that.
Yeah. Remember that time that my mama had my sister Susan's phone, like her second phone, but I put it as Mama's cell. And then after my mama had died, Mama Cell called me, and I was like, what the fuck? Like, it freaked me out so much, and I called, and it was, I mean, sorry, freaked me out so much. Like, my heart, like, stopped.
Yeah.
Susan was on the other line being like, hey, just like normal shit. And I was like, oh my God, I forgot this was your phone.
Yeah.
Like, and so now it's like Susan's second cell. Oh, but
why she got so many cell phones?
Girl, but who knows?
But also, I the other day accidentally called my dad's phone. Oh, but I don't know what ended up happening. Like, I didn't even know I did it. Like, it was just a complete, I didn't even know how I hit it.
That was a hello from him.
Yeah, I'm going to think it is.
Yeah.
But I was looking back to see something on my, like, you know, your call log. And I was like, I called dad? What?
Yeah. Even just how you said, like, y'all had pulled stuff together to make, like, more seating room around her and stuff. Like, it just reminded me of my sister, because she was in her hospital bed in the living room at my mom's house.
Yeah.
And we had like pulled everything kind of where it was all like flanking her.
Yeah.
Thank you for sharing that. All of y'all, thank you for sharing your stories. Especially y'all a long-time listener, first time.
Why does that crack me up so much? It's hilarious. It makes me feel like I'm Delilah. Maybe on key. But thank y'all so much for sending these stories in. Keep them coming. If you want your story read on an episode, send it in to us at aparanormalchicks@gmail.com. And remember,
creep it real
and don't get scared.